Texans, and welcome to the podcast. Great to have you aboard for this one as the Texans look to make it two wins on the season after trying to make it two in a row last week but falling short to the Tennessee Titans in a wild game that might have been unforgettable. It's one of those offensive performances that we shouldn't forget. And unfortunately, Deshaun Watson's been in a few of these where he leaves the field with the lead, but the Texans can't hang on to the lead. And some of these are really would-be classic wins, but obviously they turn out to be losses. And I'm talking about New England in 2017 and the Seattle game in 2017 and Philadelphia in 2018, which would have been magnificent for this team to get. And of course, the Saints on opening night last year, and now the Tennessee Titans in the division. You had the lead late, and the Titans were able to drive the length of the field twice and beat the Texans in overtime. And that's a real stinger. I mean, that one's going to hurt for a while. And maybe, just maybe, you can do something about it by beating the Packers. I mean, you certainly can do something about it by beating the Packers, but maybe they actually get it accomplished here. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, Mark. These are the Green Bay Packers. 13-3 last year, 4-1 this year. Yeah, they're coming off the tough loss to Tampa Bay. But really, look, you're at home. You've proven that you can move the ball on just about anybody, and you need to do it more consistently, of course. But they played a turnover-free game. They got the ball out a couple of times. I'll take my chances with that kind of performance every time. And I know the D gave up way too much here, 600 yards plus, a franchise record against. And Anthony Weaver himself said the run defense was, quote, abysmal, his word, not mine. So they're going to try to correct it as quickly as possible as they take on the Packers Sunday at noon. Now, another thing I want to bring up, this is an awful start, obviously, at 1-5. And the last time and the only time they beat the Packers was 2008. And that season had some major similarities to this season. A very shaky start at 0-4. And eventually that team was 3-7, but ended up 8-8 and a great chance to go 9-7, but they lost to Jamarcus Russell and the Raiders on a Week 16 Sunday afternoon in the Bay Area. But I liken this season to that one for a few reasons. That season had a whole lot of offense, not a whole lot of defense, and it had the NFC North and it had the AFC North. Right? Because you opened with Pittsburgh that year, you lost to Baltimore, you beat Cleveland. That year, you took on the NFC North teams, and you beat Chicago, Green Bay. Did they beat Detroit? I think they did that year. And the Vikings, they lost to. But I really look forward to this one on Sunday, because anytime you have the Packers in town, it's huge. In fact, this year with tickets, it's been very weird with about 10, 11, 12,000, whatever it is in the building, and most NFL buildings. And yet, it's a tough ticket because, yeah, you have limited capacity and people want to see the Packers. You know, you have multiple chances to see the Texans probably. And, you know, maybe you have COVID curiosity, want to see at least a few games at NRG Stadium. But when you have an opponent like this that's only in once every 8 years, it really ups the ante in one of the NFL's greatest franchises in the Green Bay Packers. All right, so we talked to Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers, and started off talking about what went wrong last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So let's hear from Wayne.
Tampa's defense is really good, Mark. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think they may be one of the top four or five defenses in the league. And I think the speed, especially of their inside linebackers, threw the Packers off and took the offense out of its rhythm. And, you know, on a day when the offense was struggling, the defense needed to step up to the next level, take the ball away, make plays. And unfortunately, they were unable to do so.
All right, what version of Aaron Rodgers are we getting now this late in his career? How has he played, in your opinion? You've seen all the games.
Well, he's been terrific for the most part, and obviously struggled, as everyone did, at Tampa. But in the first four games of the season, he kind of harkened back to the Aaron Rodgers of 2011. Everything was crisp. Everything was quick. He hasn't lost any arm talent or anything like that. Maybe he's not as fast as he once was when he gets out and breaks the pocket, but nonetheless, he's still the same quarterback, in my opinion. The only difference between Aaron Rodgers and the 2011 or 2014 Aaron Rodgers are the receivers around him. And back in those days, you know, you had a Donald Driver, a James Jones, a Jordy Nelson, a Randall Cobb, and a young Randall Cobb. You had JerMichael Finley, who was a dynamic talent at, tight end. So he doesn't have quite those kinds of players around him outside of Davante Adams, who's a terrific talent. But, their offense, their scheme was really well executed the first 4 weeks of the season. And like I said, last week at Tampa, they just seemed to be off script a little bit. And that was, even when they were up 10-0, you could tell the offense wasn't quite flowing the way it did the first 4 weeks of the season.
Wayne Larrivee, voice of the Green Bay Packers, joining us. All right, so there's a narrative outside of the organization about Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers and how it all got started. How is that relationship right now, in your opinion, being close to it?
I think it's very good. From what I've seen and all I've observed up close, I think they have a great relationship. And, both have helped the other out. Matt, obviously, in introducing Aaron to this new scheme, and Aaron kind of, during games with Matt saying, hey, listen, coach, hold on, hang on, we're going to be all right. This game has some ebbs and flows to it, but
right,
we're okay, that kind of thing. So I think both have been good for each other because you've got experience from different areas, different types of experiences, and both have been great. They seem like they're having a great time working well together and that type of thing. I thought last year, the one thing that stood out to me about the team last year was there was a fun element to it. The team enjoyed each other. They enjoyed being together. I think that's still carried over this year, although, we're only 5 games into the season, so it's hard to get a feel for how this team really is going to work going forward. But I think this was a big wake-up call, and now they face some adversity, and I think we're going to get a look at what kind of team they really are going forward.
Wayne, a couple of other players I want to ask you about. Aaron Jones, the running back, what does he bring?
He's a dynamic back. Great player with the ball in his hands in space. But he still will do some of the dirty work. He doesn't shy away from slamming it into the defensive line between the tackles. He doesn't shy away from pass blitz pickup. He's become, and again, he's a smaller player, so this is not something that was natural to him, but he's become very reliable at picking up the blitz. But he's become an excellent receiver. He's worked on that. He was not a great receiver coming out of Texas El Paso, but he's become a very good receiver downfield. They have no problems splitting him out as a wide receiver. And due to the lack of, depth of experience in their wide receiving core outside of Davante Adams, they will a lot of times take Aaron Jones and put him wide, and with the intent of playing him like a wide receiver and seeing how the defense handles him, how they cover him, who they put on him.
What about Za'Darius Smith, outside linebacker, 5 sacks so far?
They move him around the formation a lot, much like the Texans do with J.J. Watt. But they'll play Z on the outside from the left side, or they'll move him to the right side, and then they'll a lot of times stand him up in the middle of the defensive line. So you'll see him in a lot of different ways. And, he had a big game against Atlanta. He and Preston Smith, who brought such a great thunder to the Packers pass rush a year ago, been a little more quiet this year, but hoping to get on track on a more consistent basis.
Wayne, we were up there last preseason to practice against the Packers, and it was just terrific in the summer being in Green Bay and everything. And I liken the Packers almost, people say a college atmosphere, I think it's almost like a big high school atmosphere, because you're right smack dab in the middle of town, and it's just fantastic. How do you describe it to people? I mean, you've done a lot of games for a lot of different organizations, situations, the Bulls, the Bears. How do you describe the Packers to people who just don't understand?
Well, the experience of where they are, and I know you went to college in Massachusetts. I don't know if you know Massachusetts that well.
Sure.
But in western Massachusetts, there's this town called Pittsfield.
Sure.
It was a town in its glory days of about, 20, 30,000, something like that. Green Bay, my youngest sister once described, we were driving into a Packers game in Green Bay. She said, Green Bay is like Pittsfield with a pro football team in the middle of it. So, that's kind of the way it is. So there is a neighborhood feel to it because the stadium is in a neighborhood. There is a high school feel to it because that's how passionate the fans are that live there. The Packers are part of the fabric of it all. And that's the way it is around the state. So, when you consider this is like a college atmosphere, the whole state and people coming in from around the country give it that feel. But I think you're right, Mark. There's a lot of closeness of a high school team to this feel from the fans. You know, they regard it very personally. And in that regard, it's really kind of fun. It's neat to be a part of that, to see that happening. And game day, you know, it just hasn't been the same this year without the tailgates and the people in the parking lot and getting there early in the morning and smelling the charcoal grills firing up, that type of thing. It's really surreal. And obviously, we really miss the fans. I think everybody does.
I'm getting hungry. Wayne Larrivee, voice of the Packers, with us. Okay, you went to Emerson College, great communication school. And is it true that you would bring your tape recorder to the Boston Garden Celtics games and do some play-by-play to hone your skills?
Yeah, you know, I did that all 4 years. That was a great experience. And this is, you can't do that now, because this was back in the days when those hockey booths upstairs were abandoned and you could just walk in there and sit down and do the game and like you were in a real press box. And yeah, it was really fun. I enjoyed doing that over the years. And I really looked forward to that. It was a big part of my college experience.
All right. A couple more for you, Wayne. Being part of the Bulls, I mean, you did these games. What did you think of The Last Dance as it unfolded this summer on ESPN?
I thought it was terrific. For me and for all those of us that were around in those days, it was a, you know, walk down memory lane. And by that, I mean, you saw the security people and the banter that went back and forth between the Bulls players and their security people. You saw the pictures on the plane, and all this brought memories rushing back, you know, of all these faces and people you haven't seen in 20 years. And that was really the best part of it. You know, I thought they did a good job of bringing drama to it. We knew at that Last Dance season, we saw the, you know, obviously we knew there was a crew following the Bulls around that would get unparalleled access. We just didn't think it would take 20 years to see that access at one point. But it was great. I thought it was just wonderful.
All right, so when people ask you, all right, you were around Michael Jordan, Michael or LeBron, how do you settle that debate? What do you tell them?
It's, you know, they're two different players. I mean, LeBron is from a different era and is, you know, he's bigger, he's stronger. You probably play more positions than Michael can. But the drive and determination they brought, and I don't think anyone is second to either of these two guys. Maybe Kobe is in the same category, the drive and determination to win. But I don't think I don't think anyone was as cutthroat on a basketball floor ever as Michael Jordan. And I think that was the edge he brought each and every night when he stepped on the floor. And he never missed a game. He never took a night off. You know, thing, I can't remember the term they call it now in the NBA where guys take a night out.
Load management.
Load management. That was not a factor. Michael played in all the preseason games, and he played in every game during the regular season. And I once asked him about that. He said, you know why? Because somebody paid to come see me play. And if I'm healthy, I'm going to play, because that might be the only time that person has a chance to see me play. So he had a great feel for fans in that regard.
All right, same question when people ask you about Aaron Rodgers, because, my goodness, you did games with Michael Jordan. Here you are with Aaron Rodgers. You had Brett Favre. But what about Rodgers? Where do you put him when you're asked to rank? And I don't want to, you know, put you on the spot, but I guess I will. How do you define all that?
He's one of the great players I've had a chance to cover, both as a player and a person. And you know, really love Aaron Rodgers. I guess I'm partial to him because I remember back when I was broadcasting Big Ten games on ESPN Regional, we had this game at Illinois. My partner, Randy Wright, who was a former NFL quarterback and a Wisconsin quarterback, we had a game at Illinois, and it was kind of a nondescript non-conference game. It was Cal at Illinois. Illinois had a really good defense back in those days. And the guy, the Jeff Tedford, was switching his quarterbacks in and out week to week, trying to figure out who to play. And this was Aaron Rodgers' chance to play, his first game. And we did that game, and Randy, I remember, was effusive in his praise. Rodgers tore up a good Illinois defense. And then from then on, I kind of followed the kid. And the next year against the number one ranked USC team that went on to win the national championship, Rodgers completed 24 straight passes against that national championship team in the Coliseum in L.A. So when the Packers drafted him, I felt I knew Aaron Rodgers, and I was excited about that pick, even though many around the Green Bay were not, because the Packers didn't need a quarterback at that time. But, boy, they were happy now that they did that.
I got to think Bart Starr is still the most popular Packer quarterback of all time. But what about Favre and Rodgers? How are they regarded comparatively in Packer Nation?
I would say pretty equally. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Brett was fun. Aaron is precision. Brett would make a throw that make you go, wow, and then make another throw that would make you groan. And whereas Aaron won't do – he'll do a lot of those wow plays, but he won't do so many of the plays that make you groan. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just the difference in the style. One was a gunslinger. The other is a calculated assassin type, So I just think those are two great players, two different types of quarterbacks in many respects. But I think fans appreciate both of them here.
Wayne, thanks so much for the time. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday when the Packers visit NRG Stadium.
All the best, Mark. Thank you.
There's Wayne Larrivee, voice of the Green Bay Packers. Wonderful to catch up with him. We could go on for hours. Well, that's going to do it for this podcast. Check out all the other podcasts wherever you got this one or wherever fine podcasts are available. Have a great weekend, everyone. Looking forward to the game Sunday at noon at NRG. Go, Texans!